Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello. Welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and one of the objectives that I have always had with this show, which is going into its 12th year, is exposing and bringing forth reality as various people experience it. And we all have our own belief systems, which are molded many times by what we're taught or what our experience maybe brings us. And so we shift into a different modality of belief. But what if you were born with a condition or a series of physiological situations that caused you to react differently from everybody else? How do you think you'd handle it? Well, my guest today, David Patton, who we are talking with, we'll be talking in just a moment, is in the magnificent area of Hawaii, where I guarantee you it's substantially warmer than it is here in the Pacific Northwest, where we have had a frosty 18 degrees. But he is a man that I think has demonstrated a great deal of courage by putting together his book, which is called Dummy. It's a memoir. It's a memoir of his life. And it is a powerful one. David Patton, welcome to the Donna Sebo Show.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate being here.
David, when I was sent your material, I thought, boy, what an unusual title, Dummy. And the image of this good-looking little boy, which I assume is you, is on the front cover.
Yeah, it is.
And your story really is a phenomenal one. Before we went on air, I was telling you how I've read the book, which I do with my authors. And when I read the book, I realized I had to read the book from the very beginning to be able to totally have the cognitive understanding of how you arrived at the end, which isn't the end of your story. It is merely what I call the aha part of your story that allowed you to become liberated from a lot of things in your life. Now, the gentleman that helped you put this together is Doug Childers. And you have cognitive disabilities. Would you tell us what those cognitive disabilities are and how you and Doug Childers managed to get together so you could get this book put out?
Yeah, it was quite a process. It took about 7 years to write it. I was born with learning disabilities and autistic spectrum. And which, for me, sort of manifests more as an inability or difficulty in processing, coding and decoding words. This made it difficult to read and write. It still is. And it also made social situations maybe confusing to me at times. And I didn't always react to situations maybe the same way other people might or the way people might have expected at times.
It
goes on and on, but that's part of it.
Well, I think that there are some circumstances that need to be brought up. And one was, you're 58 years old, and at the time you were born, the medical attitudes, the use of drugs and treating mothers and various things which are not typically done today were in place.
That's right.
And when a short time after you were born, your mother had been given medication and she was put in a bed and the nurse forgot to put up the side rail so that you couldn't roll out or that she wouldn't fall out of the bed.
Right.
And you actually fell out of the bed and fell to the hard floor below, and it was your crying that alerted the nurse that something was very wrong, and your mother had been sedated so much that she was totally unaware that you had even fallen.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently I hit my head with a head injury, and she didn't get to see me till the next day, I guess, because they took me off and to examine me and to see, you know, to make sure I stayed awake, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that may have, we don't know for sure, but that may have affected the way that your brain worked. Because you make the statement right at the beginning of the prologue in your book. You say, it's 2005, I cannot read, I cannot write, but I'm great at what I do. Now, when someone would hear that, they might say, oh, my goodness, how can you be great at what you do if you can't read and you can't write? But you have a mental capacity for math and for making things work that's just absolutely incredible. But your brain works very differently from the way many people's brains work. So that when you were in school, they didn't know anything about dyslexia. They honestly didn't have an understanding of this. And it made it very, very difficult for you. I've got a very dear friend. Her daughter is severely dyslexic. And when they found that out, she had to work 10 times harder. It was just very, very difficult for her to read. Very, very, very difficult for her to focus. But not only did you have dyslexia, but you have since found out you had autism as well.
Right, right. Now, I'm autistic spectrum. I'm just being specific with that because I think I succeeded in many ways that I might not have if I hadn't had many supports and some understanding later in life to some degree. But I wasn't maybe as incapacitated in some ways as many fully autistic people. So,
yes, but I think, too, your mother had a lot to do with that, and that's something you give credit for. Now, this book was written when you were going through a very dark night of the soul. Tell us what was going on at that time. What prompted you to use this book as really like a healing factor for yourself?
Yeah. I had worked very hard to create a career for myself and found workarounds so that people couldn't or didn't know. Of course, my manager would know because I hired on as a handicap, but not necessarily the people I worked with, and I was able to kind of avoid some of the difficulties that others might experience because I was able to hide while I worked. But I found with technology changing, part of what the technology offered me would be with audiobooks and various abilities to read through text-to-voice type programs over the years, I found that I could use these tools, but I had to do it in a way maybe that others didn't know I was doing it. And as technology changed, this no longer became an option for me. And telecommunications, which is the field I was in, was also diminishing. The area I worked in was diminishing at the time. And I realized I couldn't work in the field I'd been working in. And past ghosts came and revisited me. I thought I was done with all of that, and somehow the current of that was overwhelming. not just the losing of a career, which I think many people my age are going through or have gone through. I wasn't alone in that, really. But the degree at which I had gone through my life trying to create this career and the idea of trying to rebuild again was devastating. And I felt I was just, my life somehow returned me to this moment. And I just wanted to understand better, what is it about this story? My mind just kept running this, and always has sort of run scenarios through my head. And they seemed repetition. I was like very repetitious at times. And I wanted to understand better, what's at the core of all of this that I'm not seeing, that I, you know, my mind seems to find necessary to keep recycling this. So I thought, if I could just write this stuff down and get it out of my head and go into some depth, actually just try, my idea was, what do I know that I don't want to know? And I just kept writing to what I didn't want to know about myself and these stories and everything else, try and dig deeper and deeper. And the only way to do that was write, and I couldn't write. So I put together a way of trying to write, and then through help with some editors, were able to, by passing this back and forth over and over and over and listening to it with my text-to-speech so I could identify, you know, what I was actually trying to write and rewrite. And it was grueling for me, but it was something that, you know, I adapted to by my work, but I think the editors had no idea the kind of detail and work it is to work with someone like me.
Well, I think what's most important, and Doug Childers said this, that it was over 200 hours just in conversation alone with you that he would take,
where he
was able to get the details. And your story was written as you. I think he did a fabulous job. The two of you working together, you were an incredible team, or are an incredible team, because I really think that what happens with your book, Dummy, a memoir, is that you show the real world from the view and perception of someone that is dealing with certain challenges. And what I found absolutely fascinating is that you were always ready to ask the questions, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? You know, why am I good? Why am I not good? And it's something all of us go through. But for you, it was regurgitating so that you could literally become free after a point of time. And here you are as a mature man being able to address it, but to have such candor about your story, talking about how you were even called a dummy when you were in school, but you weren't dumb. That wasn't it. And the ignorance of teachers was, I mean, I don't know, we can't really explain it away other than that it was a time when there was no conversation about this. And it was a time when someone that had severe dyslexia or the autism spectrum, as you choose to phrase it, anything like this where you would have to learn differently because your brain was operating differently. They had all kinds of modalities of thought. At the time you were born, they were really in a blind area when it came to the neurological disease. But your mother had an education in psychology, and you credit your mother for you being able to cope with life in many ways because she went by her own instincts as a mother. She was given wrong advice from so many people. And, of course, at that time, which is still the same today, a lot of physicians were considered gods. And if you were a psychiatrist or a psychologist, you weren't supposed to question anybody. I mean, this just wasn't allowed.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I do have to say, my mother, I do believe, and I think she recognized the autism in me from birth. I mean, from the time she first had to deal with me and my, I had it very colicky and all. But other than that, she just noticed that I wasn't able to make contact, didn't like being touched, you know, a variety of things. And back then, autism was thought to be caused by what they called refrigerator mothers, cold-hearted mothers. And my mother was certainly not that. And I think she felt, with her training, that, or I know she felt, that if she held me and sort of made sure I was connected to her on some level almost constantly, and I mean that literally, almost constantly for the first 2 to 3 years of my life, that maybe that was the best chance to help me. And she, we had a moment, a crisis moment, where she confronted me on that, and I remember that, and was not able to withdraw into that isolated world that I found so comforting after that. And I feel on many levels that it was really her persistence, and I hated her persistence, but I think it's what helped me.
Oh, I agree. I think that she recognized something, and again, she had gone to college. She had been educated about certain things, but she really was going by her gut instincts. And there came a point, though, because there wasn't very much knowledge about this, there wasn't much understanding, that she just became tired. And you had a wonderful dad. You really had two people that loved you quite a bit. You had two brothers, Emerson and Neil. Emerson was the oldest brother. Boy, he was a son of a gun, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, holy Moses, and he was angry. He was angry at you. He resented you.
I guess I was sick being born. I was just brought into the home without his permission, and he was furious about it. And with all of the attention I was getting, because my mother was holding me 20 hours a day and sleeping, I was only sleeping 2 to 4 hours a night, that they got a baby nurse, and she took care of my older brother, and he was basically abandoned at that point, not purposefully at all, but it was, in fact, what happened.
Well, and I think that when we can see life through someone else's eyes, when we can read about a family that, as you're portraying it, I think your candor and your honesty in your writing about this situation that your mother went through at that time really is very important, because it sets a stage for you. You even were aware. You were such a thinker. Your dad was involved in all kinds of things, and he was always encouraging you to go on. But they really were sort of out in left field, because there wasn't anybody around them that had any knowledge that they could dip into. There weren't books and articles that were published on this. And I look at so many of the interviews I've conducted through my many years of doing this show, and those associated with autism, typically it's the moms. Those are the ones that have brought about so much of the change in the education. And your mother...
The moms get it.
The moms get it. And here you relate that. But yet, she was sort of beaten down after a while. She didn't have anybody she could talk to.
Well, you know, it's hard to know what I think for anybody. And this is this is just a universal thing. When the kid still has problems later, you don't know if what you did made a difference for the better or not. You don't really know if what you were doing was working. You know they still have serious problems, and I think that was discouraging for my mother, realizing that the difficulties were, still life-affecting and severe, potentially. And I think she just felt she needed to she'd done everything she can, and she stopped trusting her own intuition and kind of gave the reins over to a psychiatrist who didn't really know what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. And that was something that you speak to throughout the book. Many people that you encountered just honestly didn't know what they were doing. They'd either want to drug somebody senseless, or there was, you know, physical disciplines, which I, when I got to that part, that just was horrific to me. I mean, that was a woman named Jackie. But before we get into this woman, Jackie, that you went to, I want to bring up the fact that even though you were challenged, even though in school this one teacher put you out in a hall, she didn't even want you in her room. She put you out in a hall, but yet you were able to amuse yourself. Now, your brain wouldn't enable, you just couldn't read the letters. Now, in today's world, I'm sure with certain computer programs and other things, there would be that capability to retrain the brain. But when you were growing up, when you were a little boy, this wasn't possible. But boy, did you have the buddies in the school system. I mean, you had all kinds of friends. You were really savvy. And you loved your younger brother. Your older brother, you had some big, big issues with, because there was this tremendous anger on his part. And as the years went by, as you became older in your later teens, a lot of that dissipated.
Yeah.
But there had to be this growing, and there was a lot going on in the family unit because of your having this illness. And then when the little brother came in, Neil, you just adored him.
I begged my mother for him. She often would say that part of the reason she had him was because I wanted a younger brother so bad.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, he was great. And I think he's really part of what helped me learn how to relate. And in some ways, he wasn't threatening socially the way others were. And that closeness with another person, I think, helped me adapt better out of some of the autistic spectrum issues.
Now, one of the things that really was amazing to me is that you said when you were about 8 or 9, your grandfather, who taught college-level mathematics, would take you off for a few hours every day. He wanted to test you. And your grandfather was a doctor, and he was slightly aware of learning disabilities, but he really wanted to find out how intelligent you were. And the very first day that he took you aside, he started teaching you a form of binary code and counting in base 2 number system, the basic numerical language used in electronic circuitry and modern computers. And you worked with all of it within 30 minutes.
That's right.
You
within 30
this...
minutes, I had base 2, base 8, base 16, and all between, to some degree, well understood. And over the time I worked with him, I was able to add and subtract in these, and even transition between, like, base 2 to base 16 without going through base 10.
Right.
So he was amazed at that. He taught, you're right, he taught mathematics or college-level math as a part of his way of working through medical school, and so he was very familiar with with teaching this, but at a college level.
So here you are, this 8-year-old, he's teaching you this stuff, and he's saying, you've got a genius here, fourth son, but your brain is working differently.
Yeah.
Now,
you
became an entrepreneur when you were very young. You were able to do certain things, although what you did, I love the story about the cinnamon-flavored toothpicks.
Yeah.
So you had that, and you were making money until a principal said, sorry, but you can't do this kind of business. We don't allow it to school. But you were so aware, even though you couldn't read and write in the sense that the average kid could, because your brain didn't work that way, you were able to do all kinds of things. Now...
Yeah, now I think
amazing.
Part of... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to just say one thing maybe I didn't... I'm not sure I brought it out in the book clearly enough or not, but one thing I was going to say about that is that, my mother, when I was 7, I flunked second grade. I approached her and with some insistence to find out what she felt my future was going to be like, because it was clear to me I wasn't learning even at that age. And I was starting to be left behind, and I became very concerned about what was going to become of me. And I sort of insisted over this conversation with her, what's going to become of me, you know. And, you know, I asked her if I was going to be able to ever get married or have kids or have a job. And she just didn't know, and finally told me, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to you. You may have to be institutionalized when you're 18. And that changed my life at that moment. And I think that the seriousness or the thoughtfulness, I think, that you're talking about was my mother, although other people, I think that might have been a mistake, she was always honest with me. And I grew to really appreciate the truth, even if I didn't like the truth. And now I may have preferred that she decide that she would take care of me the rest of my life if I needed it, but that wasn't her. And for her to be who she was and do what she felt was appropriate to help raise a kid, because she felt it was her job as a parent to raise kids to become independent. And it was sort of through her honesty in that, and always being, I could trust the truth of what she would say, that made me need to find the truth, and also willing, and rather desperate, in fact, for the truth.
You have a number of comments, questions, I should say, that are in your book. One of them that struck my chord was, why do people cling to dogmatic beliefs in fear instead of trusting what their hearts told them to be true? And I know that there's so much depth to your story in the book Dummy, a memoir. And you talk about how you became involved in drugs. There was quite an involved story there. You also end up with a young woman, and this starts when you're about 14, 15 years old, and
yeah, 14, yeah.
So you go on with that, and there's a young woman by the name of Donna who's in the same age, Grange, that you are, and oh, she's really, really messed up with drugs, and there's a very detailed story about that. But also, the story about how eventually you realize on your own that this is very destructive, that this is not a path that you want to stay on, and that you realize that you may not be able to help Donna the way you'd like to, but you've got to make up your mind. And your journey is very detailed, and as I said to you before we went on the air, to be able to understand the last part of your book, when he has to go through all of what you went through and understand the journey of thinking, analyzing, and doing what you did. You end up in San Francisco. You're able to get into a special program eventually that allows you to gain education. You know you can never get your GED. You can never get your college degree, per se, because you're not able to read or write the way the average student is. But you finally were able to get accreditation because of audio learning, and there was
That's
a special
right.
program, and you were one of those people instrumental in bringing it to the forefront, and you were getting A's and B's in geometry and algebra. I mean, you were just doing beautifully, absolutely beautifully.
Yeah. Well, with the abstract, anything that required abstract thought didn't require a lot of memory, but just literal understanding of concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of a manipulation of concepts and of digits, not letters and words, but of digits. And I couldn't remember a whole number, but I knew how to work with them, and that came naturally to me.
You also had a man by the name of Bubba that came into your life. And you became a part of his organization. He was involved in Eastern philosophies. And one of the things that you became very much aware of is that you needed to just be present with the now and do the best that you could and take one day at a time. And your ending of your book is so powerful. You did get married. You have two beautiful children, wonderful kids. And they know about your disability, and that's okay. They love you anyway. And your daughter, in fact, helped you work on this book. Your wife loves you dearly. You've been married for over 30 years. But your journey is such a powerful one. And I think that the awareness that Donna and the story about her is so special, and how she let you know 30 years after the two of you went your separate ways, you were able to be in touch, and she thanked you for saving her life. This is very poignant. This is very poignant. Now, I know we're just about out of time, and there is so much that is in your book, and I'm going to just mention something here. One of the lessons you learned is you said the suffering you experienced as you was always in part as part of your own creation. Your own mind was attacking you. And I wonder how many of us would even be able to acknowledge that, who would be awake enough to even recognize that many times our worst suffering is caused by what's going on in our heads.
Yeah.
Not necessarily what's around us, but what's going on in your heads. And
even when life is incredibly difficult and, you know, you have all the justification for life being difficult, it seemed that much of what we suffer, tend to suffer, is even more about what we do to ourselves. And I guess I didn't understand completely the degree of that until somehow that was lifted for me.
Well, this is one of the most powerful books I've ever written,
thank you.
And you said you had to learn how to surrender, to accept the world as it is, with all of its warts. We have some pretty fat ones. And I think that this book really could be read by anyone, and if they would have the patience to go through the story. Believe me, it's a captivating story. And be non-judgmental. Just go through it and read it.
Yeah.
When they get to the end, they're going to be amazed at what you accomplished. I know we're out of time, David, and I wanted to mention your website, dummymemoir.com. If any of you listening have a learning disability of your own, if any of you know or have a family member that is going through any learning challenges, I think you'd find this book a very powerful one. It will give you an inside track on why sometimes people may take the path that they do because they think they don't have any options. Well, in today's world, fortunately, we do. And fortunately, there are some people that have walked a road of experience and learning, and that is what David Patton's book, Dummy, a Memoir, is all about. That's why he wrote the book, because he wanted to let people know, especially young people, anyone that might be challenged like this, that
anybody
there is
a
life,
life
at
difficulty.
The end of
all. Yeah, anybody with a life difficulty, I hope this could reach them.
Right. Triumph over adversity, that's what this book, Dummy, a Memoir, is all about. David Patton, thank you so much for being my guest. Check out his website, dummymemoir.com. Believe me, it makes you think. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you.
We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm so delighted you've been able to join me today. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And, oh, all I need from you if you're a first-time listener is your first name or your initial, and then I'd love to know where you're calling in from. I'm going to take a moment before I share some other things with you today, just to comment on the book Dummy, a Memoir by David Patton. When I was reading through this book, I was just amazed at how David Childers, who worked with him, was able to take, through transcribing the various talks they had had, and pull this all together, because the detail in it is just amazing. But this man, the journey of choices that he went through, so powerful. And in the very end of his book, I wanted to share something that he put, and it's very, very much right at the end. He said, as you know, there's only one thing guaranteed in this life. You will not survive. If you insist on trying to be safe on surviving by diminishing yourself and your world instead of trusting the power of the source of who you are, then you'll suffer. If you think about it, what little you may have been able to control in your past is a tiny fraction of what has happened. So, just be the awareness you are in each moment. Let the heart's kindness be your guide and do the best you can without attachment to results. Leave the future to what is greater than you. Let this free you to finally rest in truth, in the peace and happiness of your true nature. The rest is none of your business. I had to share that paragraph with you because it's, to me, it's exceedingly powerful. How many people, I'll raise my hand to this, we have things hit us that in a million years we would never have stood out on a street corner and said, okay, here, suck it to me. No. Things happen in life. We have adversities. No one is exempt from them. And he still deals with these challenges. But yet he's been able to take care of his family. He's been able to do so much. But after all he had been through, what spurred this book was the dark night of the soul when life was flip-flopping on him again. And all of these old tapes, all of these old experiences, came up and were suffocating him. And the way he was able to get through it was by writing this book. One of the reasons journaling is such a powerful tool is because it allows us to have that feeling of safety where we can put what we want down on a piece of paper. In his case, he had to talk it into a tape recorder because he couldn't read and he couldn't write. But once it was done, he was liberated from those old tapes. He really had to connect with himself as a person. And it's amazing how each and every one of us in our life journey go through that experience on one level or another. And one of the greatest gifts I think we can ever have, that we can ever give to ourselves, is to really love ourselves. To accept who we are, regardless of what we've been through, regardless of the pain, the suffering, the ignorance, the superstition, whatever, and have confidence in the fact, one, we've weathered it, two, we can use it and leverage it so it works for us and not against us, and three, to believe that our purpose in life has value. We are value. And we are valued by those that love us. But more than anything else, we value ourselves. Because only when you can honor and respect yourself are you really going to be able to give back to life in the way that you were born to do it. I don't care if that's decorating a cake, to knowing how to do a garden, being an attorney, being a doctor, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever way you choose to express yourself, that is your right, that is your privilege, and always give it your best. You'll come out a winner. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I wanted to share with you some fun things. These are just little trivia items right at the moment. Celebrities and their incredibly unique phobias. Well, there is a celebrity, Billy Bob Thornton. He had a phobia about antiques. Alfred Hitchcock, this guy who was phenomenal at doing mysteries, horror films. Do you know what? He had a phobia about eggs. He couldn't tolerate runny eggs. We all have our twists and turns in personality. Christina Ricci, houseplants. Tyra Banks, she is terrified of dolphins. Matthew McConaughey, revolving doors. Nicole Kidman, she doesn't like butterflies. They intimidate her. Oprah, phobia about chewing gum. And Madonna, thunder. Who would have thought? Everybody, somewhere, has a challenge that they're going to be dealing with. And it's something when we understand that, by golly, we're going to be able to take over our lives and we're going to be able to do something with them and not be afraid. It's okay. There is a delightful little comment, sort of a short poem, actually, by Angel Mason. And she says, crystal fields and hillsides, trees wearing glistening crowns of snow and ice. Winters. Royal jewels. Oh, I agree with that. One of the most gorgeous sights I've ever seen has been up in Anchorage and Fairbanks, Alaska. And each time it was a different environment, but it's the what they call the hoarfrost that comes in, and everything looks like when the sun comes out, it just looks like it's totally encased in diamonds. It is breathtakingly gorgeous. Absolutely awesome. So I just thought I would share that little bit of trivia with you after reading her wonderful poem. And, oh, if you're like me, after the holiday, after New Year, do you have that feeling that it takes you a while to get back into doing what needs to be done? And are you feeling sort of blonde? Procrastination is sort of hanging around your shoulders like a cape, and it's like, well, mañana. Well, if you're like me, you can't afford procrastination for very long on any one thing. And sometimes we have our to-do list. I'm very good at doing that. Are you? And I may have like 20 or 30 items on my to-do list, and it's taken me a long time to learn to prioritize on that. But sometimes life comes in the way, and you don't get your priorities done. Well, how do you deal with getting rid of that aspect, especially if you've had a real, real busy times and everything in you just says, please, I just want a day off. Well, maybe that's what you need to do. Take a day off. Take some time. Take some time just to play. Sometimes you just need rest. Other times, you need to make it okay that you've been stalling and realize that you can do things now. So just let it go. Look at your to-do list if that's what you like to do, which is something I like to do, because so often I can get sidetracked very easily by phone calls, by clients, by various things that come in. Life happens. And so what you do is you say, all right, I've got to do it now. I have to take care of the details now. Also, remember one of the biggest things you can do for yourself to get energized, and I've learned this the hard way, that is by getting the rest you need. You must get your rest. It is absolutely the most important thing that you can possibly do for yourself. And don't forget, when you sleep, you're not eating. Mm-hmm. If you're one of these late-night snackers, you'll find that your habit will disappear because you'll be sleeping. And sleep is very important. It helps the body to repair itself. And it also, believe it or not, helps you if you're on a particular dietary program. It actually helps you to get rid of the fat that you don't want. So that's a very important thing for you to do. Donna Sebo here. When we come back, I'm going to share with you some information about a woman who said if you have faith in yourself, you'll have faith in life, and you can turn things around that seemingly are impossible to change. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like to give me a call, let me light up your life for 2013. Call me at 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call into if you'd like to chat with me is 888-627-6008. Before I share this special story with you, I wanted to let you know about my guest for this week. We're going to be talking with Jack Rourke tomorrow. This is a man who was a skeptic of skeptics, very linear in his thinking, and he ends up becoming a professional psychic. How did this all occur, and how does his skepticism deal with these talents that he really didn't want anything to do with, and frankly, didn't even think they existed, didn't want to be bothered with them? Well, we're going to find out tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about Message from Mother. Mark Cromwell is going to be my guest, and this is about Earth Mother. This is about this wonderful planet that we live on. I think you'll enjoy Mar a great deal. Then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Christine Page, The Healing Power of Sacred Women. Very, very interesting book with a lot of history in it of women in different cultures and different environments. And then, on Friday, Dogs of War by Kathleen Solving. Well, I'll tell you what. Kathleen is absolutely a woman after my own heart, and the reason I say it is that it is about dogs of war. Now, this is about three special dogs, and two of them are Scottish Terriers. And for you that are regular listeners, you know that Scotties are very close to my heart because we have had Scotties, my husband and I, for years. And they are just such personalities. But there's also another terrier that I think you're going to find interesting. But the stories are about some very famous people and these dogs that played a big role in their lives. So This is going to be a wonderfully dynamic week. And for those of you who listen to the show regularly, you know that it's very eclectic. We have all kinds of subject matter, all kinds of topics. And if you're new to the programming, I encourage you to go to the show information button that is on the BBS Radio website. Tap that, and you'll get a little tiny write-up on each one of my upcoming guests. And if you want to check about things that are happening and evolving with me and appearances, go to my newsletter, which is at DelphiInternational.com, and you'll find all of that information there. And by the way, I have to make some changes. I wasn't able, due to some circumstances, I wasn't able to get out a correction on the dates of travel and appearances in February and March. There are changes there, and I will be sending out contact information, so I will be letting you know about that. Donna Sebo here. If you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. All of us have challenges. Samantha is a woman that had a challenge that she never expected. Her husband, he had been in the military, and after he left the military, he became part of a border patrol group and loved his work, really loved his work. However, it's very, very dangerous work, as you know, if you do border patrol, because you're going to encounter criminal elements. There are no rules as far as they're concerned. There are none. The border patrol has a bunch, but they don't have any. The day came when a patrol officer came to her door, and he had to tell her that a drunk driver had rammed into her husband's patrol car, and it killed him. Well, she had two sons, and she was numb, absolutely numb. So she was able to get some counseling for her and her sons to help them get back on track relative to the loss of a beloved husband and a father. Her two sons rebounded into life with an understanding and a vim and vigor that often comes with youth. It wasn't happening with Samantha. Now, this had to change, and she knew that. But she did not feel like, one, she did really wanted to change what she was going through. It was a depression she was in, very deep depression. The love of her life was gone. But her son, Quincy, said, "Mom, I really want you to work out with me. Would you do it?" Well, Samantha's response immediately was, "No, I'm just not going to do this." But Quincy wouldn't let up. He said, "Please." So as Quincy was going through his exercises, she would do it with him. And she began to feel better. She was surprised, and the boys kept encouraging her, and they got her involved in their physical exercise activities. And she said, "Well, my sons are teaching me. Got to get on with life." Now, she never had been one to exercise before. After doing this with her kids, she found she was feeling so much better. Then she took another step. She decided she was going to get a business degree. But she said, "Oh, I can't imagine being cooped up in an office from 8 to 5. That's just not me." Well, she was enjoying the exercising so much, which, again, remember, she had never done before. She didn't really have an affinity for it. But she found with her boy, she was enjoying it so much, she decided she was going to become a certified personal trainer. Little by little, she was rebuilding her life. While she was going through this training to become certified, she found that the circle of people she was beginning to become associated with was expanding in a wonderful way. And in this expansion, she met a very, very fine fellow by the name of Corey. And there came that moment. They'd known each other for a while. when they recognized that there was something very special between the two of them. Her sons loved Corey, and today they're married. Now, Samantha decided she wanted to do something else. She wanted to share her story with other men and women who go through the grieving process. She came up with a book called Crazy Courage, where she shares her journey, and she said, I want people to know that there's more to life than you could ever imagine, and I'm proof positive of that. She said, sometimes things happen in life when we think there's no way I can ever go on, but you can. I did. You just have to have faith in yourself and life. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is an adventure. It's a journey of experiences, good, bad, or indifferent. Understand that it's what you do with them, how you leverage those experiences, that enriches your life. You've heard some very special stories on the show today. Take them to heart. Hold them in your mind and realize you, too, can be a gleaming star of example by just being the best you are. This is Dono. Look forward to sharing time with you again tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.